Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we're going to be talking about in Acts chapter 2, that the church stood on your word, and Father, we pray that today, as we open your word, that that's all that we would hear. Help us to receive that word, and Holy Spirit, continue to work faith in all of our hearts today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So what do you think about when I say this? Country music has a mother church. Who's the mother church of country music? Yeah, I mean, that's the place. But what else? The Grand Ole Opry. They whenever you hear about country music, it says, oh, there's the mother church, the Grand Ole Opry. Why? Well, because that's like the place when you are a country and Western artist, that's where you end up. If you're somebody, if you have made it, that's where you end up. That's kind of the apex, or even in some ways it's looked at as the beginning of country music. Well, you know, Grace Lutheran Church has a mother church. Somebody that started us. It's First Lutheran on Broadway. They started us, and you know, back in the day, we were over there at the facility behind Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, when they got started, Krispy Kreme didn't exist, right? But on Kingston there, that is where we began. And every church has a beginning. And the Church of God in Acts chapter 2 has an awesome, awesome beginning that we get to see a part of. And so as we go through this message, we're going to be filling out this outline that was found in your bulletin. And by the way, I'm not Pastor Rich either. You know, my hair is gray, but it's not as gray. But it will be one day. I will. My hair will be as, like Pastor Rich. I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. I don't know. It seems to be going away every time I get under those bright lights in the bathroom. In Acts 2, verse 41, it tells us this about the church. Peter had just had his sermon on Pentecost. And it says this, those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. So the Holy Spirit was doing some amazing stuff in the early church. The church was growing like crazy, not just numerically, spiritually. People were hearing God's word and being baptized. They were believing in Jesus as Savior. It was an awesome thing. And when even one person is baptized, it's something to celebrate. In this instance of the early church, the Holy Spirit, there was no doubt he was at work. And it says in Acts 42 that basically they were devoting themselves to God's word. And that really meant continuously devoting. Day by day, over and over and over, they were devoting themselves to the word of God. They weren't focused on the amenities of the church. They didn't go in the bathrooms and go, ooh, look at that granite countertop. That's so nice. Or look how bright the lights are, and the screen is so nice and bright and shiny. Everything's so great. It didn't matter. In fact, most of the time, they were worshiping and gathering together in houses. They didn't go with a white glove at everybody's house and go, mm-mm, I can't worship here. It didn't matter. You know what mattered? What the most important thing was? It was the word of God. And so our first point is the teaching of the apostles, i.e. the gospel. That is what was priority. That's what mattered. They were worried about the pure milk of the word of God. That's all that mattered. That was central to them. That was the foundation. They didn't have Six Flags over Jesus. And it didn't matter if they had Six Flags over Jesus. All that mattered was they were a people who were clinging to Jesus and his word. And that really teaches us, because with these four things, the church in Acts 2, consisting of these four things, what God is showing us in his word is really, ultimately, these are the things that matter in the church back then, in the early church, in its beginning. But it really matters even in today's church as well. That we have to be standing on the foundation of God's word. We can't be worried about all the other stuff. That doesn't mean like, oh, well, you know, our bathrooms can look cruddy. But the priority is God's word, first and foremost. The main thing is the main thing. The second thing, they were invested in fellowship. Fellowship, relationship, sharing possessions, caring for neighbors and people in our circles of influence. And I accidentally put our because I was focused on us as our church, that's what we need to be, but that's what they were doing too. In their circles of influence, they were fellowshipping, they were sharing possessions and caring for their neighbors and all people. It didn't matter if they were believers or not. They still were doing it. Now, they cared for believers, for sure. You know why? Because look at what happened. 3,000 people came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And they were in Jerusalem. They were worshiping in the temple. They were worshiping at Jerusalem. And even if for a season, they didn't go back to their home communities. They stayed there. And so what does that mean? Well, they didn't have a home. They didn't have a place to stay. They didn't reserve any Airbnbs beforehand. They didn't have income coming in because their jobs were at wherever they were from. And so what had to happen? The Christians in the community had to share their possessions. Now, they didn't have to. They weren't mandated. They weren't forced. They wanted to do it. They wanted to care for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So they provided meals, they provided possessions, they provided a place for them to lay their heads. And even for those who were non-believers in the community, they would share whatever they had. It is a beautiful picture of the church and the generosity of the church. It wasn't forced. They didn't have to. They wanted to. And fellowship with one another is so important. And fellowship with one another in church, as God's people, it can't just be based on, well, what's your political affiliation? Or what favorite sports team do you like? Or are you a Vol fan or not? Or do your kids hang out with my kids? Like, those are all important reasons for being connected to other people. But as a church, what's our first connection? What's the main thing, the main reason we're connected? It's because of Christ. You may say, well, hey, Pastor Danny, I mean, the reason I'm in this fellowship of believers is because I did some really thorough church shopping. And I would be like, well, that's good. But it's no accident that you're here. Because regardless whether you church shopped or not, I believe the Holy Spirit has placed you here, has brought you here for this time and this place, such a time as this, where we all together, because of the unity we have in Christ, we're all one body. We're all one church, one people. God's people. A guy named Adrian Rogers, who I found out did a lot of his ministry here in Tennessee, somebody let me know. I never had heard of him. Memphis, yeah. So he used this beautiful description of fellowship. And he said, let's say you have two pianos in one room. Oftentimes, people will try to tune a piano with another piano. But when you start hitting that tuning fork or you use a tuning device after that, you'll see they may be in tune with one another, but they're not actually in tune for real. Because it's virtually impossible to tune one piano to another piano. But if you get a tuning fork or tuning device and you tune one piano to the tuning fork and then you tune the other piano to the tuning fork, do you know what happens? They end up being in tune together. So here's what he was saying. When you're in tune with Jesus, and I'm in tune with Jesus, then you're going to be in tune with me, and I'm going to be in tune with you. That's fellowship. However, if Christ is not at the center of our fellowship, then we're not going to be in tune with one another. We're going to be worried about all the ancillary other things instead of being centered on Christ. So fellowship is important. And point number three, 2 and 3 really go together because it shows generosity and hospitality. But 3 is the breaking of bread and also sharing frequent, regular meals together. This is something else that the church did and did well. Again, the new Christians, they had nowhere to go, so they fed them. They took care of their bodily needs. It was a beautiful thing. It was a great thing. Now, you may say, well, after Acts chapter 5, you'll see, after Acts chapter 5, this doesn't appear to happen a whole lot. So there's not a lot of talk about everybody sharing everything together, everybody caring for one another in the same way. But that doesn't mean that followers of Jesus didn't continue to do this or didn't do this even before this. I mean, look at when Jesus arrived on the scene as a human being. He had no place to lay his head, the scripture says, but people brought him in. They provided for him. The Apostle Paul, sure, he was a tent maker to earn a little pocket change, but people brought him in. They gave him a place to stay. Later in Acts, you have this lady named Lydia. She was like a fashionista. She was loaded. She had houses in the big booming metropolises of the world. And yet she was a Christian. And what did she do? She was generous. She opened her home up. She provided. And so somebody may hear what I'm saying and say, well, past Acts chapter 5, you really don't hear about this much. And somebody may go, oh, good. That means I don't have to be generous. I can just kind of, this was a one-time thing. And that's it. I don't have to worry about it. I'm free from that. And I would argue, no, in Scripture, Christians always have a posture of humility and hospitality and generosity. That's just who we are as followers of Christ. Because who is Jesus? He's one who is generous, who's hospitable, who was just humble. And so may we have hospitality and generosity as followers of Jesus. And we see it here at Grace. You see it at other churches. If you've ever had that experience, I in Midland, Texas, there was like 80 people in our church at the time. We had 14 of those 80 people under the age of 4, which meant we had a lot of young families. And they just all showed up. Like, the Holy Spirit just brought them. There was nothing fancy that we did. But what happened was, this was in the middle of an oil boom. And in Midland, Texas, there's desert. There's nothing there but oil. And it smells like oil. And everybody says, you know what I smell? I smell money. That's what people said in Midland, Texas. So all these people came from all across the country to work in the oil and gas business. And they showed up at our church. And we were all about the same age, and our unity was based on Christ. And so we started living life together. We studied God's word together. We shared meals together. We even shared babysitting. We had a babysitting co-op so that each family could go out on a date because we had no family near us. None of us did. And so one night, Sarah and I would watch one set of kids, and another night, the other family would watch our kids. It was beautiful. That's unity. That is fellowship and generosity. We've seen that here. We have an amazing spiritual gift as Grace Lutheran Church of being generous with one another and with the community. And I pray that we continue to build on that gift that Jesus has given us, that he's provided us. We have that. May we be generous with those in our community, both believers and non-believers, just as the early church was. It's a beautiful thing. You know, there's sometimes where you say, well, do I really need the church? I mean, do I really need to be part of the community of believers? I mean, I come when there's nothing else for me to do on Sunday. Or, you know, my perfect Sunday morning is just going to church and going home. Like, I really don't want to be in community. I don't want to be in a grace group. I don't want to be in a Bible class. I don't want to come on Wednesday evenings and just share a meal with other people. I just kind of want to come in, worship Jesus, say a few prayers, and leave. And I would argue that you're missing out on the community that Jesus has for you. There was a young man who was fed up with the church. He didn't really see the point of community, and he went to this wise man who was a Christian to his cabin because he was invited by this wise man to talk with him. And so he shared through a conversation what were the problems he had with the church as a young man. And as he was speaking, the old man had a fire going, and he silently took the fire tongs and he removed a red hot glowing coal out of the fire and he put it on the hearth. And the coal glowed for a while, but eventually dimmed and turned black. So he let it sit there for a little bit while the man was still talking. And then he took the tongs after a while, and he placed the coal back in the middle of the fire. Within seconds, the coal was glowing red hot once again. The young man saw through this wordless lesson what the wise man was saying about community in the church. Just as coals soon burn out when they're removed from the company of other coals, we need community. We need the fellowship of believers. Otherwise, we may burn out too. It's needed. It's a blessing and a gift Jesus has given us. So that's why it's so important. Verse number 4. The early church spent time in prayer, praising God. This was a vital piece for the early church. They were praising God. They were going to the Lord in prayer through the direct communication that God has given us of prayer. And you and I really need to spend some time in prayer this week, thanking the Lord that he provided a soon-to-be associate pastor in Pastor-elect Jake and his wife, Christina, who's going to be a deaconess intern. Because there were 54 churches who received no one. And for some reason, God saw it fit that we would receive not just an associate pastor, but also a deaconess intern. And so we need to have a posture of thankfulness and praise to the Lord. And we don't want to misuse that gift that he's given us either. we want to, we're gonna have like all cylinders running strong. We want to utilize the gifts God has given us for His glory. And so we want to be thankful to the Lord, and we also want to say, Lord, as all of these people come, as we have a DCE intern come in January 24, Matthew McCarty, we want to say, Lord, put all these people in this place and utilize all of us for His glory. Man, help us to share the good news of Jesus in this community. And show us how to do that. Show us, Lord, what you want us to do. We can do that through the gift of prayer. So the four results of the four things being in place in the early church, this is what happened. Point number one, all came upon everyone. There was this respect, reverence, this wholesome fear. And it says it came upon everyone, meaning that the church and maybe those not in the church too. They saw what was happening. God was moving, and there was nothing they could do to stop it. That's an awesome thing. Point number two, everyone shared what they had, and everyone had incredible generosity. Doesn't it feel good whenever we give of our time or give of our resources? It feels so good whenever somebody goes, wow, thank you. It's an awesome gift that we have been blessed to be a blessing, as the old saying goes. Point number three, Christians had favor with all the people. People saw the Christians and they had favor. They knew what their heart was all about, that they were wanting to just love the community around them and share the hope and joy of Christ. Now, I have to tell you, I have to ask you, do you think that Christians have favor with all the people around us today? I don't think we do. And I think some of it, honestly, is self-inflicted. Because I think our pride has gotten in the way at times where we say, oh, the world, you know, they say this about it. We're gonna show them how we're right. And so as a result, we just talk past each other. We're not listening to other people. And that doesn't mean we have to agree with them, and that doesn't mean they have to agree with us. But I think when people know where our hearts are coming from, and that we're all about sharing the love and joy of Christ, and we want to see them know Jesus as Savior, they may say this, and I pray they say this about Grace Lutheran Church, but I also pray they would say this about every church who worships the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not just in our community, but across the world. I don't agree with everything they teach and everything they confess, but I know that they love me and they love this community and they care for me. May that be said about us as Grace Lutheran Church in this community and beyond, where people say, you know, I don't always agree with what they say, but I know they have the best intentions of the community. That is priority. I pray that people would say that about us. And number four, the Lord added daily those to being saved. Don't you want to see a movement of Christ working like that? Wouldn't it be awesome to be part of that? I think Jesus is up to something in our world. You just see how God is working. I definitely know He's up to something here in our place, that He's working in the present. He's going to be working in the future. We get to be part of that, friends. We get to tell people about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. We get to tell people that Jesus, He's not done yet. He's not done with them. He's not done with us. He's still very much at work. And He's using you and I to tell people in our circles of influence about the hope and joy of Christ. We get to be part of that. That's an amazing thing. So church, may we always be a church who exhibits these four characteristics. so that we see the Lord adding daily to those who are saved. And we can celebrate that and give thanks to Jesus for that amazing work and amazing gift. Amen? Amen.